Next up is LD 1572, a resolve to analyze the impact of sea level rise. And our bill sponsor is our own Representative Bloom.
Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and fellow members of the Joint Standing Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. I am Representative Lydia Bloom, and I represent the coastal part of York. I come before you today to introduce LD 1572, a resolve to analyze the impact of sea level rise. This is a governor's bill. The part of York that I represent in the House is all of its coast, its people, its relatively densely built up coastal properties and businesses, nearly $4 billion worth, its beaches, marshes, and rivers. The town relies on these features to continue to attract the throngs that fill our summers and keeps our town's economy humming. York was one of the first towns to recognize that sea level was rising and that the town's attractive seaside environs would be threatened by it and the resulting increased flooding and storm impacts. They put sea level rise in their comprehensive plan so it would be considered when planning development, hazard mitigation, and public safety. Around the same time, I went to the legislature as a state representative, and I set out to see if York's experience could help other coastal communities prepare for sea level rise impacts, and to see how the state could help with the potentially huge changes that may need to occur to avoid the harshest impacts on the most densely populated areas of our state, our coastal communities. The best answer to this has finally come from the work of the Maine Climate Council and its working groups. Maine scientists work from the best available data to further the understanding of sea level science in Maine and what our state's vulnerabilities were to sea level rise. The Community Resilience Working Group took on the hard subject of what adaptation measures communities can consider to reduce impacts that cannot be stopped. A whole of government approach is what is needed for the action plan of the Maine Climate Council to be fully realized. And it is also most certainly needed to be fully prepared for what has already started to happen along our coast. That is why the governor has put in this resolve to make sure every impacted department has made preparations to manage for the most likely scenario of sea level rise, 1.5 feet by 2050 and 3.9 feet by 2100. I am very proud that I was able to be a contributing member of the Climate Council and to witness firsthand the whole process that has resulted in the Maine Climate Action Plan. The process and the resulting documented work from the council is something all Mainers can be proud of. I will be followed by representatives of the executive branch who will explain how this resolve will affect the workings of Maine's government in more detail. Thank you so much for your consideration of this important resolve. I look forward to working with you on this bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Bloom. Are there any questions? All right, let's go ahead and bring over Commissioner Loizom.
Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, I'm Melanie Loizom, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection, providing this testimony in support of LD 1572. This resolve would express the legislature's support for the use of the best available science to prepare for the probable effects of climate change on infrastructure, property, and land use. 2019 Public Law, Chapter 476, created the Science and Technical Subcommittee of the Maine Climate Council and charged that subcommittee with establishing science-based sea level rise projections for the state's coastal areas. The subcommittee delivered those projections to the Maine Climate Council in 2020 with the recommendation that Maine should manage for the highly probable scenario of 1.5 feet mean sea level rise by 2050 and 3.9 feet by 2100. The council unanimously accepted this recommendation for inclusion in Maine's 2020 climate plan, Maine Won't Wait, along with Strategy F to build healthy and resilient communities. Within Strategy F, the Council recommended developing and implementing updated land use regulations, laws, and practices by 2024 in order to enhance community resilience to flooding and other climate impacts. The Community Resilience Planning, Public Health, and Emergency Management Working Group evaluated existing state rules and has already provided an initial list of those that should be updated. Agencies do not need additional legislative authorization for that work, but this resolve ensures that any statutory roadblocks to preparing for sea level rise in those updates to regulations and practices will be appropriately brought to the legislature to address. This bill does not answer the question of where and how predicted sea level rise will be incorporated into those rules and laws, but it does answer the question of how much. Many agencies and state government manage and protect resources that are impacted by sea level rise. Each has their own system of rules, policies, guidance, and practices. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to including sea level rise predictions into those systems. Each agency will need to tackle specific legal and technical questions and to work with their stakeholders who have interest and expertise in those specific areas. How much sea level rise we must be prepared for should no longer be an area for debate during that work. This resolve would put that question to rest and supports thoughtful forward progress. Thank you for the opportunity to provide this testimony, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. Senator Bennett has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you give me a little bit better understanding about why this resolve is needed? I heard what you said in your testimony, but the administration has, I would think, clear authority to marshal the departments and propose legislation to us next January without this resolve.
That's true, we do. We are planning to engage in a variety of stakeholder work and rulemaking activities at the Department of Environmental Protection, along with other agencies. And the real ask here is that we don't want to spend a lot of that time debating the 1.5 feet and the 3.9 feet. We'd like to focus on how we would incorporate those considerations into those regulations and those practices. And our experience has been that that is a point of debate in the past that we feel like has been sufficiently settled by the work of the Science and Technical Subcommittee. That was part of the intent of charging that committee with providing that prediction. So the objective is to sort of plant the flag in the sand and say that's one settled matter so that we can really make progress on debating everything else.
So sort of get legislative buy-in on that question, and then, okay, I got you.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Commissioner, for your testimony. I must say I get a little nervous when I hear that when we're talking about scientific issues that the word debate is removed, that we no longer can debate things. I get uncomfortable when I hear that kind of talk. Also, in my study of this issue, I see NOAA has their prediction of 2.5 millimeters per year has been reduced to 2.3 millimeters of sea level rise per year. That's about an eighth of an inch. So there is room for debate because there seems to be other opinions about the projected increase in sea level rise. And I think you might have heard me before state that I've lived on the Kennebec River all my life. And as a boy of 14 or 15 years old, I started duck hunting in Merrimack Bay. And that's, almost 60 years ago, 55 years ago, I started. And I've duck hunted there every single year since. I still hunt from the same rocks, the same blinds. So the sea level rise study is pretty simple. Put on a pair of boots and walk out and have a look at your shoreline, you know. But I get uncomfortable when I hear that we can't debate anymore. And I have to agree with Senator Bennett that I don't know why the governor, can't direct any agency to do these studies anyway. Thank you, though. I have really no question, ma'am.
Isn't that so? Any other questions for Commissioner Loizom? All right, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And next up, we have Mr. Marvini from the DEP.
Just a slight correction, please, Senator. He's not from the DEP. He's from DACF.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Appreciate the welcome, Mr. Marvini.
Good morning.
I misstated your department, and I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, I hardly ever present over in front of the Agriculture Committee. It's most often in front of your committee. But Senator Brenner and Representative Tucker and members of the committee, my name is Robert Marvini, and I am in the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry as a state geologist, and I'm speaking in support of this resolve. Over the past 2 years, I served the Maine Climate Council as the co-chair of the Science and Technical Subcommittee, and the 28 members of that committee, plus scores of other scientists, worked exhaustively to identify the most relevant scientific literature related to the trends and impacts of climate change in Maine, captured in our report, the Scientific Assessment of Climate Change and Its Effects in Maine. The chapter in Sea Level Rise was written by the three most experienced marine geologists in the state who spent much of their careers researching this issue and its implications. Maine is fortunate to have several tide gauges with long-term records, including Portland, Bar Harbor, and Eastport. There are several figures in my testimony, and they show over 100 years of record shown for these gauges. Over that time, sea level has risen 7.4 inches in Portland, a rate of about 0.62 feet per century. And since 1996, the same gauge at Portland has increased 0.88 feet per century. Similar increases are seen in Bar Harbor and Eastport and elsewhere in the world. While there's considerable scatter in the data and several decadal scale cycles related to long-term ocean patterns and the orbits of the moon and the earth, it's important to note that the lowest yearly averages for the past several years are higher than the highest yearly averages in the 50s and 60s. The highest levels recorded in the past few years are unprecedented. And we know of no credible scientific evidence that suggests sea level will fall anytime in the remainder of the century, or even that the rate of rise will moderate. And you can look at the charts in the in my testimony. For the STS to report, we identified the most rigorous projections for sea level rise through 2100 based on different scenarios for increases in atmospheric greenhouse gases. Through review of the scientific literature, debate among committee members, and vetting by the Maine Climate Council, we selected the intermediate scenario in the model used by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as appropriate for incorporation into the state policy. And there's a graph that shows that those scenarios. The intermediate scenario anticipates 1.5 feet of sea level rise by 2050 and 3.9 by 2100. And it's very likely that these values will be met. And while 3.9 was generated through rigorous scientific analysis, it represents the median of possible outcomes for 2100 for that intermediate scenario. And for practical implementation purposes, we recommend that it be adjusted to 4 feet. It's just a simpler number to deal with for that rise by 2100. There's a number of reasons in there along with the graph. So thank you for your time and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Marvini. Representative O'Connor has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Marvini. That was actually really interesting. So I guess what I'm thinking of sea level rise and what you're saying and those levels, when you talk about the 4 feet by 2100, I find it unlikely that any of us will be here, but it is our duty to fix it. My question is, how much land mass will that actually impair? How much will we lose how much beaches and property? Right. Thanks
very much for that question, Representative O'Connor. We did do some estimates of how much land would be lost. I don't have those numbers right here with me, but I'd be happy to bring that back for the work session.
Any additional questions from the committee? Did you have a follow-up, Representative O'Connor?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any additional questions? All right, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And next up is Brian and Brett from the Office of Innovation. Welcome, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. It's a pleasure to be back with you again this morning. My name is Brian Ambrett. I'm the Senior Climate Resilience Coordinator in the Governor's Office of Policy Innovation in the Future. I'm here today to support LD 1572, a resolve to analyze the impact of sea level rise. In 2019, Governor Mills established the Governor's Office of Policy Innovation in the Future to address critical long-term issues facing Maine by engaging state agencies, stakeholders, and the public in the planning and implementation of innovative, data-driven policy solutions. The state's Climate Action Plan, Maine Won't Wait, highlights the opportunity to give agencies, municipalities, tribal governments, and the private sector clear guidance for waterfront planning, development, risk reduction, and conservation with respect to sea level rise. Companion reports to the Climate Action Plan identify potential consequences and costs to Maine if action is not taken to prepare for sea level rise, including $17.5 billion in coastal flood damage between now and 2050, and a reduction of 20,000 jobs across the coastal, maritime, and hospitality sectors. The Maine Climate Council's Scientific and Technical Subcommittee recommends committing to manage 1.5 feet of sea level rise by the year 2050 and 3.9 feet by 2100. These projections represent the most likely values for sea level rise. However, extreme sea level rise is possible and prudent to plan for in some cases. Therefore, the subcommittee additionally recommends preparing to manage for 3 feet of sea level rise by 2050 and 8.8 feet by 2100. LD 1572 provides critical, consistent guidance to agencies, ensuring that all departments are relying on the same set of projections for their work of protecting state assets, coastal communities, and Maine's resources. Importantly, the bill also signals clearly to municipalities and the private sector that a standard set of sea level rise projections inform local waterfront planning and coastal management. Providing clear projections and consistent rules is a key early step in supporting Maine's towns to prepare for coastal flooding and to build resilience to climate change. As our offices testified on other bills this session, technical assistance and support for municipalities will be needed over time to build resilient communities, and LD 1572 is a good start. LD 1572 is also an important first step in investing in climate-ready infrastructure in Maine. The Climate Action Plan identifies aging infrastructure as both a burden and an opportunity. Maine has over 330 miles of public roads, 60 miles of rail, and numerous public boat ramps, wastewater treatment plants, and ferry landings that will be exposed to inundation from rising seas. LD 1572 will inform how the state assesses the risk of sea level rise to coastal infrastructure and will guide more resilient design and construction practices. New and upgraded infrastructure must be designed to withstand the conditions expected over its decades-long lifetime. Otherwise, any modest cost savings today are purchased at the expense of much higher repair and replacement costs in the future, not to mention the public safety, health, and economic losses incurred when infrastructure fails. From working waterfront infrastructure that forms the backbone of many local economies to green infrastructure like the sand dunes and salt marshes that protect our coastal neighborhoods from storms, the guidance provided by LD 1572 will enable Maine to make smart, responsible investments that increase the day-to-day functionality of our infrastructure and improve the reliability and performance during emergencies. The fact sheet attached to my written testimony provides you with additional information. Thank you for your service on this committee and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you so much, Mr. Imbrett. Any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, thank you.
Folks in the attendee space who are here to speak in favor of the legislation, if you could raise your hand. Caitlin Bernard. Welcome, Ms. Bernard.
Thank you. Good morning. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and distinguished members of the Joint Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. My name is Caitlin Bernard, and I am the Natural Resources Policy Advisor for the Nature Conservancy here in Maine. I appreciate this opportunity to testify in support of LD 1572, a resolve to analyze the impact of sea level rise. The Nature Conservancy is a nonprofit conservation organization dedicated to conserving the lands and waters on which all life depends. Guided by science, we create innovative on-the-ground solutions to our world's toughest challenges so that nature and people can thrive together. We played a role in the Maine Climate Council. Our state director, Kate Dempsey, sat on the Climate Council, and many of our staff were on the working groups. So we feel that the Climate Action Plan is an enormous achievement for our state and a clarion call to action for conservation here in Maine. The four-year plan reinforces that there is an essential need for strategies to help communities across our state become more resilient. LD 1572 directs state agencies to make recommendations to incorporate consideration of 1.5 feet of relative sea level rise by 2050 and 3.9 feet by 2011. That must be a typo, by 2100, sorry about that, into the administration laws and rules that they administer, as well as recommending any changes necessary to implement strategy F3 of the Climate Action Plan. The impact of changing climate conditions is already being felt on the ground here in Maine. In Portland, sea levels rose by roughly 8 inches during the 20th century, about 7 inches higher than expected based on prior data. In this century, sea levels are projected to rise another 1 to 6 feet globally, with sea levels expected to rise more in the northeastern US than the global average, according to the 2018 National Climate Assessment. Underinvestment in coastal resilience can carry a significant cost. An analysis conducted to inform the development of the Climate Action Plan found that 1.6 feet of sea level rise by 2050, combined with storms occurring at the same frequency and intensity as the historic baseline, Maine can expect $17.5 billion in cumulative building damage between 2020 and 2050. Another recent study found that sea level rise has already cost Maine nearly $70 million in lost home values alone between 2005 and 2017. Sea level rise threatens both built infrastructure and Maine's diverse coastal habitats. Homes, businesses, roads, and working waterfronts will all benefit from a focus on climate resilience. This issue is not unique to Maine's coast. Inland communities also face significant climate risk. Increased rainfall and more intense storm events can affect this vulnerable infrastructure. For example, undersized culverts at road stream crossings commonly lead to road washouts. On the natural infrastructure and habitat side, sea level rise drives coastal wetlands to migrate inland. Without proper planning and investment to support marsh migration, wetlands will not have the space to retreat and reestablish. Incorporating climate resilience considerations into comprehensive planning, stormwater and floodplain management, and other land use laws, tools and practices will help all Maine communities become more prepared for the future. LD 1572 provides a strong directive and foundation for Maine's agencies to review and plan for these potential impacts. The infrastructure, resources, and public interest overseen by these key agencies are of critical importance. Identifying risk reduction recommendations and bringing those recommendations back to this committee will allow Maine the time to take action before it's too late. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bernard. Are there any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Thank you for joining us. And next up is Ivory Frignoka. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and esteemed members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Ivy Frenyoka, and I am the Casco Bay Keeper with Friends of Casco Bay. I submitted written testimony, but I'm here to talk with you from the heart. As Casco Bay Keeper, it's my job to be the voice of the Bay. So I will speak as if the Bay were here in the room with you, because you will hear a lot from other people about the importance of this bill and its impacts on communities. Even if we meet our ambitious goals to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, our coastlines are experiencing the effects of climate change now, between sea level rise, increased storm intensities, increased stormwater loads, and more intense storm surges. And we will have even more consequences in the future. We are losing critical habitats, and we will lose more critical habitats if we don't act now. I serve on the Coastal and Marine Working Group of the Maine Climate Council and worked closely and talked a lot with members of the Community Resilience Working Group. Both working groups prioritized the need to rethink how we plan and regulate our coastal resources. Adding things like remapping floodplains and adding a sea level rise overlay is critical, because we have to have some idea of what the future is going to look like so we can plan to save what we can of our coastal resources, help them be resilient, and help our coastal communities and industries that depend on our iconic coastal resources. The roadmap for doing this is really well set forth in Appendix A of the Community Resilience Working Group's report, and it provides a sound basis for the start. If we do nothing else on the resilience side for our coastal resources and coastal communities and for Casco Bay, setting the foundation by revising our laws is the most important thing we can do. And I just want to take a minute to answer a couple of questions. Representative O'Connor asked if there were any statistics that showed the habitat we would lose. And there are those statistics, and they're incorporated in our testimony. And for example, if we have the sea level rise by 2100, we'll lose 96% of our developed sand dunes. And it goes through how much dry beach we'll lose and everything else. I won't read them to you, but if you go to Friends of Casco Bay testimony, the answers are there. Representative Hanley raised a really good point about how do we know what the sea level rise is going to be? How do we know that the science is right? That's an excellent point. The projections that were picked were middle of the road. And what I hope happens during the regulatory process is that we build into our regulatory revisions the ability to continuously update the projections. We're making the best guesses we can about the future to prepare our coast and our coastal communities, but we should build into the laws some flexibility to take into account our continuing knowledge. And then Representative Bennett asked about why this bill is so important. And you got an excellent answer from the commissioner, Loisem, in terms of her perspective from someone outside of government. When agencies are so strapped and faced with so many things to do, this bill puts the urgency in place. If the state doesn't revise their laws, then the municipalities don't have the foundation to rely upon for the decision-making that they need to do. If the state doesn't revise their laws, we can't protect our coastal resources. So this bill puts the urgency in place and makes sure that this committee knows by next legislative session what needs to be done to protect our resources. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Frenyoka. Any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Thank you for joining us. Next up is David Costello. Welcome, Mr. Costello.
Good morning, and thank you, Senator Brenner. Excuse me. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and distinguished members of the committee, my name is David Costello. I'm a Brunswick resident, and I'm the Climate Clean Energy Director at the Natural Resources Council of Maine, and I'm testifying today in strong support of LD 1572. My comments are somewhat redundant, so I'll be very brief. Global warming-induced sea level rise has already begun to impact Maine's coastal lowland communities and ecosystems, and will in the years ahead contribute significantly to increased flooding, saltwater intrusion, waterfront erosion, and the loss of dry beaches, sand dunes, and coastal habitat. The science and as you've heard, the Science and Technical Committee of Maine's Climate Council has determined that sea level rise along Maine's coast are rising at an alarming rate, and that they are likely to rise by more than a foot and a half by 2050 and more than 4 feet by 2100. Ominously, the subcommittee noted that a 1.6 foot sea level rise could submerge 67% of Maine's coastal sand dunes and reduce dry beaches by 43% by 2050, significantly impacting the state's vital tourism industry. Moreover, it is estimated that an increase of over 4 feet by 2100 would result in over $670 million in cumulative building losses and more than $660 million in gross domestic product losses for the state of Maine. LD 1572 would help make Maine's coastal communities and infrastructure more resilient to sea level rise by requiring relevant state agencies to review the laws and rules they administer and submit recommendations by January 1st of 2022 to this committee on how these laws and rules, including land use regulations, might be modified to best address the increasing impact on Maine's coastal communities. NRCM finds 1572's proposed review of the impacts of sea level rise to be very prudent and would, if implemented fully, likely save Maine taxpayers, coastal communities, and businesses millions of dollars in avoided costs and damages in the decades to come. For these reasons, NRCM strongly supports this important climate resiliency initiative. And thank you for your consideration, and I'd welcome any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Costello. Any committee members have a question for Mr. Costello? All right, not seeing any. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And next up is Nick Batista. Welcome back.
Hello, thank you. Thank you, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, members of the committee. My name is Nick Batista, and I'm testifying in support of LD 1572 for the Island Institute. The Island Institute's a 38-year-old nonprofit organization based in Rockland, Maine. We're a community development organization. We focus on the marine economy, climate and energy work, small businesses, education and leadership. Broadband is foundational to all of this work, and all Mainers need to have the ability to use high-speed, reliable internet. You've heard of some facts from the economic impact of sea level rise from the Maine Climate Council's Cost of Doing Nothing report, and you've heard testimony about the Climate Council's Scientific and Technical Subcommittee report. They were clear. Sea level rise presents a long-term systemic risk to Maine coastal communities. From where I sit, the lack of broadband is the biggest near-term systemic risk to the coastal communities. Sea level rise is the biggest long-term risk to these communities. The seas are rising. We need to start preparing for a future where high tides and storm surge appear in places that currently don't see salt water. Over the next 30 years, our state will see an order of magnitude increase in coastal flooding. We recently released a 12-minute video about how Vinyl Haven is experiencing sea level rise and what it means for their community. If you're curious about what they're doing and what communities are already doing to work on sea level rise, I'd encourage you to watch this video. In the last few weeks, over 4,000 people have already seen it. We support communities as they grapple with understanding the potential economic, social, and infrastructure impacts to sea level rise, and provide information and financing and planning activities. We've provided over $100,000 in coastal community planning grants to support communities in their efforts to understand sea level rise. And one of the things we've seen these communities struggle with is understanding and deciding on which sea level rise scenarios to use for their planning purposes and what timeframes to pick. The choices are broad, but to make policy, you have to make these decisions. And these are tough decisions to make. It's great that the scientific and technical subcommittee put out a set of numbers that say this is what we think makes the most sense to be planning for Maine. It's not about debating the science, but rather it's how we look at the future and make decisions about what we should do today based on what the future may look like. It's inherently a policy decision, It can be based on strong science, and ultimately the science can't tell us what will happen in the future. Representative Hanley noted that the sea level is rising, and how much it will rise by 2050 depends on a number of factors. If you talk with the individuals involved in sea level rise science and the recommendations from the science and technical subcommittee, I think they're probably at the lower end of what we're actually likely to see. We tend to be tracking even higher. And then finally, it's worth noting and emphasizing that the impacts of sea level rise really come from increased coastal flooding from the highest tides of the year and from storm surge. It's not necessarily that the level is going up, but it's really these storm events and the high tide events start getting things wet that probably weren't made to get wet. And that's where a lot of the damage comes from. So clear guidance from the state helps make these community conversations easier, helps make sure public policy accounts for a rapidly changing environment. Urge you to pass LD 1572.
Thank you so much, Mr. Batista. Any questions? I'm not seeing any. Thank you for joining us. And next up is Beth Ahern. And here we go. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's still morning, isn't it? Yes. Good morning, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the ENR committee. My name is Beth Ahern. I'm the Director of Affairs at Maine Conservation Voters, and I offer testimony on behalf of the Environmental Priorities Coalition this morning in favor of 1572. The EPC is a partnership organization of a partnership of 32 conservation, environmental, and public health organizations who unify around a common agenda every year. We represent over 100,000 members in Maine who want to protect the good jobs, the good health, and the quality of life that depend on a healthy environment. LD 1572 is priority legislation for the coalition in 2021, and thank you to Representative Bloom for sponsoring this important bill. You've heard the stats this morning from the people who testified before me. I submitted written testimony, and you can read many of those same stats. So I am not going to filibuster, but I'm just going to say that I hope you pass this legislation unanimously. It's incredibly important. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your brevity. It's appreciated this morning. Any questions for Ms. Ahern?
You're also colorful today. You look fabulous.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
And next Bye. Up is Mr. Lund. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the committee for this opportunity today to testify in support of LD 1572 on behalf of Maine Audubon and our 30,000 members and supporters around the state. Maine Audubon supports this legislation because it is an essential first step towards policy development and changes that will better protect Maine wildlife species that are imminently threatened by rising sea levels. The Gulf of Maine, as you know, is warming faster than 99% of the world's oceans. Among those effects, of course, are sea level rise. As Maine's sea level rises, coastal communities and ecosystems will see increased frequency of nuisance flooding, inundation of coastal lowlands with salt water, erosion, loss of dry beaches, sand dunes, salt marshes, and other habitats. A 1.6-foot sea level rise may submerge 67% of Maine's coastal sand dunes and reduce dry beach area by 42% and wipe out Maine's salt marshes. Sand dunes, dry beaches, and salt marshes provide invaluable ecosystem services and economic benefits. Coastal sand dunes protect buildings and infrastructure from waves and flooding. Salt marshes protect coastlines from erosion. Beaches are elemental to Maine's tourism economy. But closest to Maine Audubon's mission, these areas contain critical wildlife habitat. This legislation is an important first step in the development of policy that prepares for these habitat changes as a result of climate change. Sea level rise is causing more frequent marsh inundation, loss of marsh, conversion of marsh types, and as a result, increased stress to the species that call these areas home. Maine's Natural Resource Protection Act rules, which serve to protect salt marshes, do not account for these impacts, the eventual migration of salt marshes inland, and sea level rise generally. This will have grave implications for the species such as the salt marsh sparrow if the regulations are not modified. It is estimated that 4 out of every 5 salt marsh sparrow has already disappeared from the Atlantic coast, leaving the species vulnerable to extinction within 50 years if no action is taken. Their tidal flooding drowns chicks or washes out eggs. While the salt marsh sparrow have adapted to tidal flooding from monthly lunar tides, they are not adapted to increased flooding from sea level rise and the storm surges that Mr. Bertisa was just talking about. However, if high marsh areas where they typically nest are allowed to migrate inland and upland over time, there may be hope. In the meantime, work is being done to artificially elevate some nests to save the salt marsh sparrow from extinction. The salt marsh sparrow, whose stronghold in Maine is Senator Brenner's Scarborough Marsh, which I visit regularly, is just one example of the species that are imminently threatened by rising sea levels that would benefit from the incorporation of sea level rise projections into existing regulations. Endangered least terns and piping plovers rely on sandy beaches and sand dune habitat on Maine's coast to nest and rear their young. Piping plovers feed on small invertebrates found in the sand and coastal mudflats, and least terns feed on small fish found in our estuaries. Flooding and erosion in these areas could be devastating to these birds if they are in these areas if they are not allowed to naturally expand. Flooding and erosion of salt marshes and estuaries is similarly troubling. It is already degrading the nursery havens for many young fish and shellfish that are the basis for Maine's commercial fisheries. But if again, if allowed to migrate upland over time, these challenges may be ameliorated. And speaking as a birder, I want to say there's lots of other species. It's amazing to me, you have thousands of miles of ocean on one side, thousands of miles of land on one side, and just a razor thin strip of beach in the middle where lots of species rely on and lots of people rely on. So not included in our testimony, but also included are dozens of species of shorebirds that migrate up along the beaches, herons and egrets, sea turtles which nest on beaches, and many more. Thankfully, Maine's coastal sand dunes rules also look forward and account for sea level rise. However, the amount and rate of sea level rise needs to be updated based on the latest science, such as that recommended by the Scientific Assessment of Climate Change and its effects in Maine. By asking Maine's natural resource agencies to review these and other statutes and rules for places where sea level rise would be updated and incorporated, we can stay one step ahead of the potential devastation. These steps will help protect habitat for both endangered birds and people by planning ahead for shifting beaches, dunes, salt marshes, and estuaries. We urge the committee to support this bill, and thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Lund. Are there any questions for Mr. Lund? Thank you for joining us, and maybe I'll run into you in the marsh.
I hope so.
All right. And last up on the list for folks that are registered to speak in favor of the legislation is Erno Bonebecker. And if you're here to speak in opposition to the legislation, if you could raise your hand in the attendee space so I know you're over there. Or if you're here to speak neither for nor against, if you could raise your hand over there, that would be helpful. Welcome, Mr. Bonebecker. Can you tell me if I'm pronouncing your name correctly? Oops, you're muted. Still can't hear you. Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Yay. Senator Brenner and Representative Tucker, my name is Erno Bonebecker. I am a resident of Portland and Chabig Island, and have been active in coastal issues since I moved to Maine in 1988. I'm from away, but here to stay. And my family has connected to the Maine coast since then. And I'm speaking as a private citizen, but as a representative of my descendants and all of our descendants, to urge you to pass this bill, because specifics motivate action, and to get every level of society and government on the same page to plan for the consequences of sea level rise is essential, both to our economy, our culture, and our environment, coastal environment, which is one of the primary indicia of the Maine, what people perceive that Maine is all about. So it's been a long morning. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your work on this issue. And I hope that you will report this bill out in favor. Thank you.
Mr. Bonebecker, thank you for taking time to join us. Are there any questions from the committee?
I think it's the pre-lunch quiet.
It could be. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And next up is Neil Goldberg, who's here to speak neither for nor against.
Hello again, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Neil Goldberg, and I am providing provisional testimony neither for nor against LD 1572 on behalf of Maine Municipal Association. After the Legislative Policy Committee meets next week, I look forward to offering amended testimony if their position differs from my comments today. I really want to just hone in on one thing from this bill, which you're all aware of, which is that it puts strategy F3 from Maine's Climate Action Plan into action. It turns it from more than just a page in a report to actual progress. And I'm going to read one excerpt from strategy F3. Maine is a home rule state, which in a climate context means that local governments have the authority and responsibility for planning and implementing most activities for community resilience. The tools communities currently use, including comprehensive planning, zoning, site location of development, and stormwater and floodplain management practices, were not designed with climate change in mind. They need to be updated. And so to the extent that this bill accomplishes it, we very much look forward to you guys as well supporting it. So I appreciate your time today and be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Goldberg. Any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Next up is Mr. Capron.
Good morning still, Senator Brenner and Representative Tucker. I'm testifying neither for nor against, or both for and against, because I'm concerned that right now what we've got in this legislation is words and no action. I think the real question is nothing in this legislation is going to change the sea level rise. It's not going to suddenly go from 1.6 down to 0.5. Nothing is going to change that sea level rise over the next 50 to 100 years. So what are we going to do to protect our shorelines? And I haven't heard those suggestions at any point, either in the testimony or through the Climate Council. And that concerns me, because you've got countries like Holland and the Netherlands that are putting up these billion-dollar mechanical dikes, which they're finding they may have to replace actually in the near term, because the water level is higher than it was when they built the dikes. But what do we do about our waterfront? What do we do about the wharves? What do we do about the beaches? We can't move the beaches back further. And this legislation is not going to lower the water level. So I'm just, there's no action that's supported by this legislation. So I'm just wondering what is the objective? I'd like to see it have some hardcore suggestions, like how to make a resilient wharf. In Portland, we got wharves that are all already underwater occasionally, but nobody's doing it. There's no excitement about doing anything. And maybe if that's the intent of this legislation, that's fine. But, you know, how are we going to protect Casco Bay, for example? Are we going to build a big a mechanical dike to shut off Casco Bay from the impact of? Anyway, you know, you get where I'm coming from. There's words without action are really get you nowhere. So something for you folks to ponder. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Capron. Any questions for Mr. Capron? Yes, Representative O'Connor.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Capron, for being here. Your questions are, they're well posed and well considered. That's why this is in the form of a resolve. It gives the department and the other agencies an opportunity to look at this and to actually find the solutions to hopefully mitigate some of the damage. And it's not really a question, but I thought that you might want to know that. Thank you for being here today, and I look forward to testifying on the bill you helped me with.
You're welcome.
Any additional comments or questions from the committee? All right, thank you for joining us. And that's all I have listed for folks that are here to testify. Is there anyone else in the attendee space that's here to speak, neither for nor against, for or against? All right, and with that, we will close the hearing for LD 1570. Two, and we'll thank Representative Bloom for her work bringing this legislation forward, and we'll open up